Okay, good morning, everyone. Well, good evening, good afternoon. I'm Tim, I'm an addict, and I'm the chair of Your World Board. Welcome to today's webinar on the topic, creating a safe and welcoming environment in Narcotics Anonymous. We would like to begin today with a moment's silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Thanks, everyone. If we could say the Serenity Prayer, if you choose, in the plural version. Thanks. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you. This meeting is being simultaneously translated into Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish. We are also offering American Sign Language interpretation today. A huge thank you to our interpreters and translators. Everyone, including the English speakers, now need to select a language by clicking the globe icon at the bottom of your screen. If you're an English speaker, please select English. If you're Italian, Portuguese, or Spanish, please select your language, again, by clicking that globe icon. Could I have that in Italian, please?
Sì, se avete, ragazzi, benvenuti, se avete l'opportunità, troverete un mappamondo sulla vostra destra con il computer e cliccate la lingua selezionata che volete, italiano, e le ascolterete tutte le nostre traduzioni in italiano. Se avete un telefonino, scegliete la lingua sempre in basso a destra e cliccate confermare per poter selezionare, insomma. Grazie a tutti.
Grazie. Could I have that announcement in Portuguese, please?
Olá a todos, boa tarde. Para escolher o canal de tradução, para ouvir a tradução para o português, vá à sua barra inferior, há um botão com um globo escrito intérprete. Clique nele e escolha a língua, português, ou italiano ou espanhol. Se você deseja assistir na língua em inglês, escolha inglês. Se está num celular, vá aos três pontinhos, clique em intérpretes, escolha a língua e continuar ou confirme. Precisa confirmar para poder ativar. No celular, né? No computador, não. Muito obrigado e boa tarde.
And could I have that announcement in Spanish, please?
Sí, bienvenidos a la reunión del día de la unidad del día de hoy. Sí, por favor, en la barra de herramientas, en la parte inferior de la pantalla, donde está el globito mundial, pueden seleccionar la opción Spanish, en español, para que puedan escuchar la reunión en su idioma. Gracias.
Muchas gracias. If you require ASL interpretation, please pin the ASL interpreter by right-clicking on their picture. During screen shares, it's possible to view both the screen and the interpreter by selecting the side-by-side mode, as shown on the screen now. Now that everyone can experience the meeting in their own language, Michael from the World Board is going to start us off with the reading from Tradition 10 in Guiding Principles. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Tim. I'm Michael, I'm an addict. I serve on your World Board, and happy Unity Day, everybody. When outside issues seem to affect the atmosphere of recovery, or the quality of our meetings, we are often more successful when we look for ways to strengthen the atmosphere from within. Rather than trying to control things outside of NA, service meetings and workshops can be vital places for discussion, brainstorming, sharing experience, and offering support to groups struggling with issues that affect our ability to carry the message. Just as in our personal recovery, We don't have to do it alone. We don't have many new problems in service. Many of our struggles have been addressed in some form or another before, somewhere in NA. Most of our problems have more than one potential solution as well. When we ask for experience, strength, and hope, and listen with an open mind, we discover solutions.
We hadn't imagined. Thanks, Michael. Before we hand the meeting over to today's panelists, we want to share a few highlights from the 2020 NAWS annual report that's just been posted online at www.na.org/AR. The first time we've created the report in a digital format. This is a more effective use of our limited resources and offers a more dynamic experience for the reader. Let's just take a quick look at the report. Let's give that a second. And this is how you access it. So the annual report is the best place to go for a complete look at NAWS resources in the course of the fiscal year. It always takes a long time to produce because we have 5 locations with different currencies, an outside audit, and a complex contributions report to compile. Some of the graphics in the report include the free and subsidized literature graph, the NAWS long-term support goal, the total number of published translation items and literature distribution charts. These can be all viewed here online, just like we've demonstrated now, or you can download it as a PDF. Very impressive. And a big thanks to our wonderful staff for doing such an incredible job with this. Okay, on to the webinar. I'm now actually going to hand this session over to the World Board Secretary, Irene, to take us through. Thanks, Irene.
Thanks, Tim. Hi, I'm Irene, I'm an addict. Welcome everybody and happy Unity Day. So our topic for this meeting is creating a safe and welcoming atmosphere in NA. We have asked 8 panelists to share their experience with us today. Some will be sharing about workshops and discussions in their communities to directly address predatory behavior in NA. Others will talk about their efforts to welcome members that have not always felt welcome in NA and to try to resolve long-standing conflicts. We're also very happy to have one of our newer members share her experience of getting clean in virtual NA meetings. We're streaming this today on YouTube. That link is posted on the NAWS webinar page. That's www.na.org. webinar, and it's also in the chat for this meeting. Attendees will be muted through the whole meeting, but after the presentations, if you have a question for the board or for one of the presenters, you can raise your virtual hand by clicking on reactions in your Zoom toolbar. You need the latest version of Zoom for this also, or by tapping on the 3 dots or more if you're on a phone. So that's how you raise your hand. Please note that it will only be possible to chat with the meeting hosts during presentations. This is to minimize distractions. We will get to as many questions as we can after the presentations. With a meeting of this size, there will probably be more questions than we can answer. If you have a question that doesn't get addressed today, please write to us at wb@na.org. So that's WB for World Board at na.org. So please, if you can keep your questions brief, if you have a complicated question or an experience to share, please email us after the meeting. As with previous webinars, we will post a report summarizing the presentations and the most common questions to the virtual meetings page, which is at www.na.org/virtual. That will be posted sometime after today's meeting. We will also be posting additional materials, contact information for some of the panelists, and the audio recording of today's meetings. So now we're just going to do a language reminder. So we're just going to ask people here to remember to be on the correct channel. So if you can select English or either Italian, Portuguese, or Spanish, depending on which translation you want. And if you're looking for it, it's like a globe icon. It should be at the bottom of your screen. And please choose your language. All right, so just to make sure we're hearing everybody, Carlos, could you say that in Portuguese?
Boa tarde, sou Carlinhos, sou adicto. Para escolher o canal para ouvir a tradução em português, vá à sua barra de ferramentas do Zoom, onde tem um globo escrito intérpretes. Clique ali e escolha português ou alguma das outras línguas. Se você está num telefone, vá aos três pontos, clique em intérpretes, escolha a língua e confirmar ou continuar. Precisa confirmar no telefone, senão ele não termina a operação de escolher a língua. Muito obrigado.
Obrigada, Carlos. And Angelo, could you say it in Italian, please?
Sì. Ok, ragazzi, vi ricordo come sempre, se volete scegliere la lingua, dovete andare in basso a destra del vostro computer e troverete un mappamondo e scegliere la lingua più appropriata per voi, se volete l'italiano, l'inglese o il portoghese. Lì ci ascolterete tradurre. Andate sull'italiano, che siamo io e Gerardo. Se avete un telefonino, sempre la stessa cosa, in basso a destra i tre puntini, scegliete e poi confermate. Grazie e buona visione. Ci sentiamo
grazie,
presto.
Angelo. Grazie. Grazie, Angelo.
Arrivederci.
And then in Spanish, Gianni?
Sí, buenos días, bienvenidos a la reunión del Día de la Unidad Mundial. Para seleccionar la traducción en español, en la barra de herramientas, en la parte inferior de su pantalla, verán el globo y háganle un clic al globo y seleccionen la opción Spanish y así podrán escuchar la reunión en español. Gracias.
Gracias, Johnny and Laura, our ASL interpreter. Thank you. So now we're going to go on without further ado to our panelists. As we've said previously, we'll be focusing on a range of different ways that members are helping to increase unity in our fellowship by trying to ensure that every addict is welcomed to NA and given the opportunity to recover. Thank you very much to the members who are here to share with us. After they share their experiences, we will have time for questions and answers. So we're going to have 8 presentations and each will be from 5 to 7 minutes. So presenters, you'll get a minute warning when it's time to wrap up. Please remember to speak slowly as we are being translated. So first we are going to hear from Steve C. in New Jersey, and he's going to tell us about the workshop organized by the Bergen Area Fellowship Development Committee to address predatory behavior in NA.
Hi, I'm Steve and I'm an addict. I'd like to thank Nick and the board for inviting me to share my experience, strength, and hope in what I consider to be a very important topic facing us. In 2014-2015, in Bergen area, in Northern New Jersey region in the United States, we noticed the new GSRs were struggling with their understanding of what was happening at area service and were getting lost in the flow of business. So we decided to create a fellowship development committee to design and produce resources that would better teach and train both new GSRs and new committee chairs. So they participated in the work of the committee, but the committee did not go very far and went without a chair in 2016. In 2017, I returned to area service after a short hiatus, and I was elected to be the new FD chair. As a committee, we were wide open and we could focus on any area of fellowship development we wanted to. We had guidelines, but they were fairly loose. Our mandate was to teach and train members of area and the local NA community. We had a strong committee of young addicts, mostly in their late 20s to early 30s. Most had 5 to 10 years clean, and many years of service experience at the group, area, and committee level. We were very motivated, and we developed GSR orientation packages, committee chair packages, group area inventory packages, other tools for our members. One of the big things we did was we put on workshops. We had absolutely amazing workshops. We had workshops on CBDM. We compared the differences between CBDM and Robert's Rules. We did strategic planning, budgeting, how to give a report, how to take notes at area, how to make and follow an agenda, spirituality versus religion. That one was titled Unity and Diversity, Embracing Our Spiritual Autonomy. We had speakers that defined themselves as atheists and speakers who defined themselves as religious. They talked about what they had in common, how they worked steps like 3, 7, and 11 from either side. It's a very loving and moving workshop. I love those workshops. In 2016, there was a YouTube documentary about sexual predators and the 13th step in AA. We had a number of young women on the committee, and they asked if we could talk about sexual predators in our fellowship. Every one of them had horror stories. Summer of 2017 was also the summer of the Me Too movement. In this context, we started to talk about general predatory behavior and sexual predators. Someone asked, how would you feel if your mother, sister, daughter came into the rooms? Would you feel safe? Would you feel that they would be safe? The short answer was no. Nobody in the room felt a young woman was safe walking into the rooms. So the question was, what can we do about it? Well, our thing was workshops, so we wrote a workshop. At the time, most of us had been trained through IDTs by either the RDs, RDAs, or from members of the World Board. So that was the vehicle we knew, that was the vehicle we modeled. We wrote the workshop to follow the intro, build a foundation, ask a large group question, break up into small groups, ask questions, circle backs, go over what we learned. One of our members, who's a very skilled writer, used some existing literature to develop what we termed as the safety statement. It was modeled after our current readings, or the clarity statement. And since so many groups read the clarity statement, and the clarity statement is based on a World Board bulletin and not fellowship-approved reading, we offered this as material to the group could use if they felt it was appropriate reading for them. Several groups did use it, and I think still continue to use it today. Our first presentation was at the Bergen Area New Year's Eve Convention. We used conversation starters like, what can I do to make the fellowship safer? Or, how can we approach these people without causing harm? We came from a place of love. There are generally between 1,100 and 1,500 addicts who attend that convention. We had a big room. We were on the program. So it made a big splash. We had a very spirited discussion, both pro and con. The materials from the workshop are posted in the local services resource page on na.org, and they can be found easily by typing Bergen into the search bar on the homepage. Many people felt empowered, and they were very happy that people were sticking up for the newcomers. Throughout the workshop, we always talked about approaching people in a loving and caring way. Not going alone, don't make it personal, focus on the behavior and not the person, don't do that. But unfortunately, many people were against this workshop from the very beginning. Not that they felt that the predators should be allowed to prey on newcomers, but rather they came from the perspective of, who are we to judge? There are no rules in NA. NA ought never be organized. Our leaders are the trusted servants they do not govern. I saw their point, and to that end, we changed the name of the workshop several times, limited and softened some of the more aggressive language, did the best we could. We did the workshop again a few months later. It was even better attended. As word got out, more people came to challenge us. There were a lot of challenges. And a lot of questions about the workshop prior to the convention as well. The workshop almost got canceled or dropped from the convention multiple times. I went through several rounds of questions about the intent, the focus, the tone of the workshop. People wanted to know who we thought we were and what right we had to call people out. However, there were people who were well-respected in the local NA community who lent their voice and their support in favor of the workshop, and that helped sway the votes. Anyone who came to the committee with an open heart and an open mind understood and supported us. Regardless, many people thought it was not a good idea to have the workshop. After the workshops, many long-term friends of mine distanced themselves from me. I lost a couple of sponsees. There are still some people that don't talk to me. Currently, most of my real friends are still my friends. Some people who separated themselves have returned. However, even some of my friends are still upset over us bringing this issue to light. A lot of people wish we would not have opened that can of worms. If I had it to do over again, I would do it again in a second. The entire process was built around a desire to keep the newcomers safe. I think it's both our sacred duty and our privilege to make this fellowship as safe as we can for the next addict that walks in through the door. I'm immensely proud of the committee and all that they did. It was a great 2 years, and I wouldn't trade it for a second. Thank you very much for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much for your presentation, and thank you for your service. Next up, we have Hamid T. And Hamid is going to tell us about the efforts to welcome women into recovery in the Kuwait region. Over to you, Hamid.
Hey, everyone. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, everyone. Happy Unity Day. So I'm a recovering addict. My name is Hamid, and I'm from Kuwait, currently serve as a World Board member. So I'm going to start off with a couple of dates and numbers. They might not make any sense now. However, it is important that we try to pay attention to them, as they will be a significant part of our story. So in 2012, we have 1-0. In 2013, 2-1. 2014, 4-1. 2015, 12-2. 2021, 50-4. So I'll start off from the beginning. In 2012, we had one local female recovering addict come to meetings. And in the beginning, I'm sure it was hard to attend a male-dominated meeting. Most of the women that used to come and go over the years attended the only English-speaking meeting in Kuwait that had one female member that wasn't a local and didn't speak Arabic. And as much as she wanted to welcome and help and tried her best to help women new in recovery, there were some issues with language. And that made it hard for the recovery process to flourish. The zero that I mentioned at the beginning of my share was the number of women groups or meetings in Kuwait at that time. So what happened in 2013? The Kuwait Area Service Committee found a room where women could have meetings without it being dominated by men. The one woman became two, and they started having a female-only meeting once a week. And that meeting kept on having women come and go for about a year. Till 2014, there were at least four women that consistently and regularly attended meetings. So as a community, the fellowship had agreed to provide any services or experiences needed. So we asked the World Board, NA World Services, for help. They visited and helped us conduct workshops and PR events. In the meantime, because only men could sponsor the women that were in recovery, workshops were given to the sponsors and the females on boundaries, how to choose a sponsor, how a sponsor should act, and how to identify red flags in a sponsor-sponsee relationship. As a community, we also all agreed on the importance of service and carrying the message. This opened doors for us to also approach the Women's Rehab Center and ask for the opportunity to carry the message inside the hospital. In 2014, we had 12 female recovering addicts consistently attending meetings and doing service. They opened another women's meeting. Both meetings had fully functioning group services, which is when they were asked to start attending the area service committee meeting and be part of the service structure. In 2017 or 18, eight women went and attended the Asia Pacific Forum as observers with delegates. And this was the first time ever. In 2018, we had four female-only groups, all with fully functioning service structures as an integral part of the Area Service Committee, with some women also serving in subcommittees for the first time. 2018, the group delegates also voted for our first female chair of Literature and Translations Committee. And by the end of this year, we'll have more than one woman planning to put forward their names for service positions at the Area Service Committee. Sorry. In 2021, there are approximately 50 female recovering addicts and approximately 25 that are active in service and events. There are now four female-only groups with six meetings a week in Kuwait. In hindsight, it's almost easy to look back and quantify many of the significant events that have led to now having an active community that is thriving and growing at a pace beyond our imagination. Yet, we are also unable to say what exactly was the catalyst and when was the tipping point. What we do know is that our vision is clear. And when we are in times when we don't know what to do, we talk about it openly and we ask for help. We are never afraid to ask for experience, strength, and hope from those that know. Teams from the World Board and NA World Services have visited twice in the past 7 to 8 years. And we have done more than 17 workshops. We've done more than 17 workshops. We all asked our sponsors what to do when faced with dilemmas. And we've asked and gained experiences from service bodies on how to do workshops, ranging from how to serve in a group to workshops that we created based on our needs, all the way to brainstorming workshops where we had no specific topic, except that the reason we gathered was, tell us what you need and how we can help. This is not to say that we don't have our challenges or hiccups along the way. However, one thing I am able to quantify for sure is that we have a growth mindset and we believe in our vision that every addict in the world has a chance to experience our message in his or her language and culture and find the opportunity for a new way of life. NA communities worldwide, NA World Services work together in a spirit of unity and cooperation to carry our message of recovery. Narcotics Anonymous has a universal recognition and respect as a whole as a viable program of recovery. I will end by saying I'm proud to say that I am part of this community, locally and worldwide. I was treated with a welcoming mindset of support and growth and given all the opportunities to learn and grow. For that, I am forever grateful to what we as a whole represent in our home groups and in NA worldwide. Thank you.
Hamid, thank you so much. Thank you for that great presentation and for your efforts in your region, as well as your fabulous work on the board. Thank you. So now we're going to hear from Kayla D. Kayla is from Prince Edward Island in Canada. And she's going to share about her experience of finding recovery in virtual meetings. Welcome, Kayla.
Hello, I'm Kayla and I'm an addict. First and foremost, as always, I want to thank my higher power for waking me up this morning with another day clean. Also, thank you for asking me to share on the topic of getting clean on the screen. It's always an honor and a privilege to be asked to do any kind of service for NA. NA has given me a life that I never had before. Finding the screen has been a lifesaver to me. Last September, I experienced such despair and so much pain that I tried to take my own life while my partner was at work. I finally had enough of living the way that I was. I couldn't ever remember the day before. I was crushing up my medication and abusing them and drinking myself into an oblivion. I didn't see any way to be able to stop except death. I cut myself so deep that I lost consciousness, and when I woke up, I wanted to cut more. I knew I couldn't call my fiance at work and ask him to come home and save me. I didn't want to be a burden to him anymore. Something came over me, thank God it did, to call a helpline. While on the phone with the person, they asked if I had ever been to a virtual NA meeting. I didn't even know what that was. They talked me through how to download Zoom, and they gave me the ID and the password to the 24/7 meeting. The woman stayed on the phone with me for a while until I assured her that I'd stay on the meeting until my fiance got home. That's exactly what I did. I even stayed at that meeting for almost the entire following week. Because of the 24/7 meeting, I'm connected with the most incredible sponsor and support group. I have friends today all over the world that would pick up the phone to me at any given moment of the day to love and support me in whatever it is I'm going through. The first thing my sponsor helped me with is getting a daily routine set for myself. When I started working with her on my ninth day clean, I was living a life of staying up until 5 a.m. and sleeping until 2 or 3 p.m. I had no concept of what day it was or what time it was, and I didn't care. I didn't see the point in being up at regular hours of the day because of the pandemic and being in lockdown anyways. She taught me that because of my mental illnesses, I have to take my medication as prescribed at the same time every day. The first piece of this was getting my sleep schedule on track. I would go to bed at 10 p.m. and set an alarm for 8 a.m. I wasn't allowed to get out of bed until that 8 a.m. alarm went off. And regardless of how much sleep I got, I needed to put my feet on the floor at 8 a.m. I wash my face, I take my medication, I read my Just for Today with a strong cup of coffee, and I journal for two to three sentences on what the JFT meditation meant to me that day. I continue to do this today, and looking back, it's amazing to see how much growth has happened in my writing. In the beginning, my writing was scattered and all over the place. I was painting rainbows on the freaking ceiling. Now my writing is structured and makes sense. My sponsor helped me to see the importance of suggestions of making 90 meetings in 90 days. Before I met Katie, I was going to almost 24 meetings a day, and it became so repetitive that she showed me the importance of finding a home group where I picked up service positions. I became a person that was able to contribute to the meeting by screen sharing, doing key tags, timing, etc. This really gave me a sense of purpose in my journey. When I hit my 6 months clean, I even began hosting the meetings on Fridays and booking speakers for that day. And I continue with this commitment as it is a 6 month long commitment. I've been asked to share at a couple of meetings also, sharing my experience, strengths, and hope on various topics. Picking up commitments has made my support system grow. I have friends in Rhode Island, New York, Boston, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Florida, and so on. I'm even connected to a really wonderful group in England that I visit on Saturdays. The reason I find it so important to mention how connected I am in my recovery is because I struggle with social anxiety. I have a really hard time feeling safe at in-person meetings. I've been to them before and they don't work very well for me. In the virtual meetings, I have the safety and comfort of my own home. My pets are with me. I can wear cozy slippers and make a sleep tea or a coffee while listening to a meeting. I've begun to learn who I really am by letting my personality show in NA. I also have the ability to turn my camera off if I'm feeling uncomfortable, and I am protected for the most part from predators. Not to say that they don't exist. I've had my issues online with people too. But the thing is that when I'm confronted with these people, I have the ability to block them from social media and keep them from being able to talk to me if needed. When I've had issues with particular people in the past, their presence in the same meetings as me don't stop me from signing into the meeting like it might if I knew that they were going to be at the same church gathering that night. I mentioned my friendship, and I have to say that that is the most attractive part of NA for me. I have two best friends now because of virtual meetings that there's no way our paths would have crossed otherwise. My very best friend, Danny, lives in Ohio. I met her at my home group out of Long Island, and we talk every single day. We know each other's highs and lows, and the love I have for this woman is like any other friend. She understands me for who I am and everything I'm going through. I also have my best friend, Sophie, who's in Boston. She's got me centered back into doing my yoga career. She's given me the courage to start my yoga teacher training, and I look forward to starting that in October. I couldn't be happier about it. Life might not be perfect, and it never will be, but just for today, I won't pick up no matter what. With my sponsor close, I'm confident that I can get through anything clean. I don't have the desire to use drugs anymore. When things are hard, instead of picking up, I pick up the phone and get one of my incredible supporters on the phone to boost my spirits. I have a life that I look forward to waking up and enjoying on a daily basis. I can finally take my dog on a hike and enjoy the scenery. And I can communicate without being messed up. And I have a whole spiritual family that is so close in my heart, even though we haven't met in person. Thank you so, so very much for allowing me to come and share my truth. The virtual meeting saved my life, and I'm glad that I had the opportunity to come and give some hope to the newcomer that getting clean on the screen is possible and incredible.
Kayla, thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're so brave to come on and share your story. You're an inspiration. That was absolutely beautiful, and hope to see you around for many, many years to come. Okay, thank you, Kayla. So we're going to move on now. We have a slide from the LAZF. And we are going to hear from Gabby and Luigi about workshops held in El Salvador by the Latin American Zonal Forum to try and resolve some of the conflicts within the region. So I'm going to hand you over to Gabby and Luigi.
Hola. Buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Luis. Soy adicto. Soy miembro vicecoordinador del grupo de trabajo de desarrollo de la fraternidad del Foro Zonal Latinoamericano. Los saludamos, tanto yo, mi persona como Gaby, y vamos a hablar un poquito acerca de este tema tan importante.
Hi, my name is Luigi and I'm an addict. On behalf of Gabby and myself, we thank you for welcoming us here.
Les damos las gracias por permitirnos compartir con ustedes cómo es que el poder superior puede manifestarse en el servicio con amor de Narcóticos Anónimos.
We thank you for allowing us to be here and allowing us to share how our higher power could manifest itself through the service that we do.
Que nos fortalece día a día.
That it gets us strong day by day.
Asimismo, agradecerle a mis compañeros del grupo de trabajo y sobre todo a Gaby, que ha estado conmigo haciendo esta labor sumamente importante para nosotros.
And just thank everyone and Gabby for helping us do this such an important task for us.
A continuación les voy a contar un poco la historia.
I'm going to share with you some of the a story that we have had.
Dice, todo comenzó en el grupo Desarrolla la Cofraternidad, que antes se llamaba Crecimiento y Desarrollo.
Dale completo, Luis, termina toda la...
La lámina. Ok. Todo comenzó en el grupo de Desarrollo de la Cofraternidad, que antes se llamaba Crecimiento y Desarrollo del Foro Zonal Latinoamericano. En una reunión que tuvimos hace 3 años y medio, casi 4, donde se nos pedía que empezáramos a trabajar con las regiones que no tienen representación o piso en el Foro Zonal en aquel tiempo. Éramos 5 personas y se dividieron logísticamente dichas regiones, a la cual me tocó a mí la región del Salvador, una región con la cual el foro ha estado trabajando en distintas ocasiones.
It all started in the Fellowship Development Work Group that was previously called Growth and Development of the Latin American Zonal Forum. In a meeting that we had 3.5 years ago, almost 4 years ago, we were asked to start working with the regions that do not have representation or are not seated in the zonal forum. At that time, we were 5 members being of service in this work group. And these regions were logistically divided, and I was assigned to work with the region of El Salvador, a region with which the forum has worked within different occasions.
Adelante, Gaby.
Hola, buenas tardes. Gracias a todos por estar. Gracias por el espacio y por la oportunidad de compartir nuestra experiencia. Soy Gaby, la actual coordinadora del Grupo de Trabajo de Desarrollo de la Confraternidad del Foro Zonal Latinoamericano.
Hi, my name is Gaby, and I'm currently serving as the coordinator of the Fellowship Development Group from the Latin American Zonal Forum.
Gracias por el espacio. Vamos a continuar con lo que relataba el compañero Luigi anteriormente.
Thanks a lot for the space, and we're going to continue with this presentation.
No se había podido llegar a ellos ni tampoco concretar una estructura debido al desconocimiento de los compañeros y la falta de buena voluntad de ellos. Y así comenzó la historia en el 2018. Empezamos a trabajar con estos miembros a través de nuestros talleres mensuales, los cuales se pudieron empezar a estructurar y de esa manera pudieron encontrar la fórmula para poder reactivar la actividad en el Foro Zonal Latinoamericano.
It had not been possible to contact them or to determine what service structure they had due to lack of information and lack of goodwill. And that is how this story began in 2018, when we began to work with them through facilitating monthly workshops, which could help them to begin to form a service structure. And that way, they could find a way to reactivate their participation in the Latin American Zonal Forum.
Ok. Aunque ya sabíamos que en ocasiones anteriores se había intentado con el foro acercarse con pocos o nulos resultados, nos dimos la tarea en el grupo de trabajo de empezar con ella nuevamente. Nos acercamos a los dos lados por las dos partes, por lo cual estaba dividido, y empezamos a trabajar con ellos. Se les invitó a la unidad mundial en 2019 para que nos compartieran y nos dieran su experiencia, pero seguían los problemas.
Although we already knew that on previous occasions, the Latin American Zonal Forum had tried to approach the region with very few or no results, the work group took on the task of starting this effort again. We approach both sides of the membership of the region that have been divided for quite some time. We began to work with them. We invited them to participate in the 2019 World Unity Day celebration so they could share their experience with us, but the problems remained. Siguiente, Gaby.
Aún así, seguimos trabajando con ellos y empezaron a compartir sus experiencias, las cuales todas iban enfocadas al problema que tuvieron y esto no les dejaba crecer. Cuando realizamos la CLANA 2019 en Costa Rica, tuvimos la oportunidad de interactuar con algunos de ellos, pero sin resultado positivo. Así que nos dedicamos a hacer formalmente los talleres virtuales, los cuales empezamos a desarrollar para despertar una conciencia. Esta empezó a dar frutos, ya que los miembros empezaron a cambiar su manera de pensar.
In spite of this, we continued working with them and they began to share their experience, which was focused on the problems they have encountered and which did not allow the region to grow. When the Latin American NA convention was held in Costa Rica in 2019, we had the opportunity to interact with some of the members, but we were not able to achieve positive results. So we formally dedicated ourselves to facilitate virtual workshops, and these workshops began to raise awareness and they began to bear fruit as the members began to change their way of thinking.
Gracias a los talleres virtuales y de tradiciones, pasos y conceptos de servicio, se genera la oportunidad de iniciar con una apertura mental de desarrollar su estructura de servicio. Posterior a este servicio, recibimos la invitación para realizar una serie de talleres presenciales en junio de este año en San Salvador y Sonsonate, los dos lugares donde tienen.
Thanks to the virtual workshops, we facilitated on the traditions, steps, and concepts, the opportunity was created to begin an open-minded approach to develop their service structure. After facilitating the virtual workshops, we received an invitation to carry out a series of face-to-face workshops in June of 2021 in the cities of San Salvador and Sonsonate.
Para compartir con ellos otros talleres presenciales y así sellar el trabajo que veníamos haciendo desde el 2018 y que el día de hoy se concretó con la oportunidad de que ellos ya vuelvan a tener literatura en sus anaqueles y la estructura que están haciendo a través de dos áreas. Y una más que están formando es un trabajo que se ha venido haciendo y que hoy tiene frutos.
Through facilitating other face-to-face workshops and by formalizing the work that we have been doing since 2018, we gave them once again the opportunity to have literature on their shelves and to have a service structure. They now have two areas and they are forming a third one. We are now seeing the results of all this work.
This, bueno, por eso agradecemos a todos los miembros de los grupos de El Salvador, el Foro Zonal, a la Oficina de Servicios Mundiales, a todos los miembros del grupo de trabajo que han estado apoyando desde el principio y que gracias a hoy podemos ver miembros en El Salvador leyendo literatura y aprendiendo de la experiencia, no solamente en el problema, sino generando soluciones.
We want to thank all the members of the groups in El Salvador, the Latin American Zonal Forum, the World Services Office, and all the members of the work group who have been supporting this effort from the beginning. Today, we can see members in El Salvador that are reading the literature and that are learning from the experience and are not focusing on the problem, but are also focusing on generating solutions.
Bien. Si gustas, Gaby, ¿quieres compartir un poquito?
Bueno, esto es parte, si puedes ayudarme, Camilo, de lo que realizamos en El Salvador.
En segmento. Right now we're going to show a couple of pictures of the work that was done in El Salvador.
Ver esto me genera de nuevo un nudo en la garganta. Realmente para nosotros es de mucho agradecimiento poder ser partícipe de esta apertura, no solo de que adquieran la literatura de los servicios mundiales, sino que realmente...
Seeing all of these pictures makes a knot in my throat, just realizing that people from that country could have their literature.
Realmente estamos agradecidos de que hayamos podido colaborar con el desarrollo de la confraternidad de la región de El Salvador.
We are really grateful that we could serve of assistance to the region of El Salvador by facilitating literature and different tools to assist on their fellowship development.
Gracias al Foro Zonal Latinoamericano por la confianza, la oportunidad. Gracias a los servicios mundiales, a Johnny Lamprea por siempre guiarnos y orientarnos.
Thanks to the Latin American Zonal Forum. Thanks to the World Services, and thanks to Johnny Lamprea for always helping us and guiding us.
Gracias a Auric del Foro Zonal Latinoamericano por el acompañamiento en este desarrollo.
We do want to thank as well to Auric from the Latin American Zonal Forum, as he has joined us in this journey.
Y por último, gracias a nuestros delegados zonales, Mauro y Andrea, que han sido partícipes también de este desarrollo. Buenas tardes, soy Gaby, soy adicto.
And we also want to thank Mauro and Andrea, our zonal delegates, who have assisted us and joined us in this journey. Thank you all. My name is Gaby, and I'm an addict.
Y mucho, mucho gracias, Luigi y Gaby. Y buenas tardes. So now we are going to return to the topic of predatory behavior. And we've asked Sam Kay from the UK to share about the discussions that has been happening in her region. Over to you, Sam.
Thanks, Irene. Thank you, everybody. My name's Sam, I'm an addict. And it's a privilege to be here on World Unity Day. I'd like to, you know, thank all the speakers and the presentations that have just come before me. And yeah, I feel very moved by what I've heard. So the predatory behavior discussion is live in the UK right now. As I've heard from others, and I'm aware of the translators and the interpreters, so I'll try and keep a pace, that this is an ongoing discussion. So for the UK region, back in 2005, due to incidences of inappropriate and predatory behavior, members brought their concerns to their area, and a discussion was had there, and then to the UK region. A work group was formulated so that ongoing discussions how we could best address these difficult topics, how it was we would move forward. So the hard one experience of that subcommittee produced a piece of literature entitled The Guidelines for Dealing with Inappropriate Behavior in Meetings. So that can be found, and I'm sure that it will go out to everyone as a resource at the end of this web meeting, but you can find it on www.na.org/ local resources. And it is under the topic of miscellaneous. So maybe it's not always easy to find. So what we found moving on through these years, now the topic of discussion has become very live with the change with the pandemic and the issues that have been raised again through the online community. So although people have used the suggestions and the guidelines and the literature from this document, we have been speaking as areas and as a region to update it, to look at new solutions for new issues that are rising. So the most recent discussion has come from one of our London areas. The members took it to their area and then to our UK region to bring a motion. So we discussed this on the floor of our region, and it was decided for it to be included as a motion in the conference agenda report. So the conscience of our UK region was to have this motion taken to the CAR, discussed at the next World Service Conference with a view for the literature to be made into fellowship approved literature. At the moment, it is regionally approved. However, as we're all aware of our current situation with our World Service Conference and the pandemic, how we had to sit in two partial virtual sessions last year, and the backlog of the CAR motions, our discussions were met with the World Board to see if there were any other options for us to be able to continue with raising awareness, what we could bring, you know, what was missing from our literature document that we have, and what we could do. So after several meetings, you know, over very important discussion topic, we felt that it may not be as effective right now to be sitting in a queue for the conference agenda report motions, as the future was uncertain. So we would not know when that motion would be heard, if it would be heard at all. So we got some suggestions. I met with Irene several times. She's our local World Board member to the UK. And we have been looking at how we can continue to raise awareness, whether, like today, through meeting on this webinar, whether we can formulate information through YouTube, what locally developed resources we can manage. And so this for us is a live ongoing topic at our region. We'd like to thank the World Board for their support and the ongoing discussions that we were having. And through the collective information and experience of others globally. We will continue to have this discussion at the UK region. So we will collect these resources. We will discuss further at the UK region. And we will look at what our options are as a fellowship. But I think it's vital. It's, you know, twice this week we have had emails to our UK resources around behavior. So for us, this is an ongoing topic of discussion. And our region will decide, you know, the next step forward. But today, you know, we're very grateful that we have the opportunity at the webinar to hear others' experience and hear the fellowship development within our communities. I pass that back to you, Irene.
Sam, thank you so much for sharing your experience and for your ongoing commitment to find solutions. It's much appreciated. So now we have invited Laura S. from the Never Alone Deaf Group to share a little about the efforts of this group to make recovery available to the deaf and partially hearing members. Over to you, Laura.
Hello, everyone. My name is Laura, and I'm an addict. I'm so thankful to be a part of today. Thank you for making this event accessible to all addicts, regardless of language barriers. Thank you for that. I'd like to start with where I'm from. I'm from Houston, Texas. My clean date is March 8th, 2015. When I first started recovery, it was small town Texas, my first home group, the way the chairs were set up. So whenever I went to my first NA meeting here in Texas, small town Texas, I was labeled as hard of hearing. And the meeting place was set up in a circle. The tables were set up so that I could read lips with appropriate lighting. This was an accessible meeting and group for me. I eventually moved in 2016 to a small island here in Texas. Unfortunately, that group refused to change a few chairs to make the meeting accessible so that I could read lips. Understand, I've been an interpreter since the age of 14. I was born hard of hearing. In early recovery, I started going through the changes of losing my own hearing. In 2017, I was diagnosed as legally deaf in my right ear with significant hearing loss in my left. I continue to take up service interpreting for NA events, meetings here in the Texas. And I was very fortunate that I was asked by Johnny to go and interpret for the World Convention of NA in 2018. It was there that my higher power placed a burden on my heart that I needed to find a way to make access for all addicts, regardless of hearing status. Came back to Texas and started reaching out to members here in my area, region, and zone. Over the course of that month in October, we set up the very first Zoom meeting with a great discussion about how do we follow the traditions with it not being an in-person meeting? What does service look like? All of these different conversations that an in-person group would take up at the beginning of forming that group, we took that up in 2018 to set up for the future with no idea that COVID would have such an impact on every one of us. In 2018, November, we had our first meeting of Never Alone Deaf Group, virtual meeting. We started with myself and a few hearing members as a test of the meeting, the technologies of it. So in December of 2018, Never Alone Deaf Group registered with World Services with NA. At that time, a virtual meeting was not considered a real NA meeting. We were considered only a support group. And even though we didn't have the support of local areas, regions, and zones, when it takes two addicts to come together to make a meeting happen, and whenever God's will is the center of that, more addicts will find us. And that's what happened. In 2019, well, originally we started with one meeting a week on a Thursday night. And our meetings look a little different than what today looks like. We have an interpreter for those that can hear. Because our meetings are in sign language, fully accessible. Our meetings are taken up in service by deaf, for deaf, and hearing. We welcome all addicts. We started with one meeting a week. 2019, we started adding meetings, a women's meeting, book studies, many other meetings just for today, morning meditation meetings. Our membership grew and grew. In 2020, we were part of additional needs for the Southeast Zonal Forum. And we learned a lot about local translation committee and how to make NA accessible for all addicts, blind, deaf, physically disabled, doesn't matter. And that opened up an opportunity for World Services and Never Alone Deaf Group to start working together a little bit more and to have more resources. When 2020, the impact of COVID happened and everything was shut down, suddenly many of those people who didn't believe that we were an NA meeting, that we were only a support group, finally understood the need for accessibility and how it works. We are so thankful as Never Alone Deaf Group to be able to help other groups, areas, and regions set up meetings online. How to apply the traditions when it comes to technology, how to do seventh tradition when you're taking a virtual meeting, and what does service positions look like? We were very fortunate that we had a lot of practice with service positions before COVID. We had almost 2 full years of practice with that and learning how to make those adjustments and work together in unity through the frustrations of bombers, through the frustrations of technology issues where Wi-Fi will drop, the audio is disconnected, whatever the situation may be, my higher powers showed up at the most important times to help provide accessibility. Excuse me one moment. So in October of last year, we were participants in the Worldwide Speaker Jam. And such a beautiful experience there in that we had our deaf members as speakers, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. For the first time, deaf were being involved in service and being asked to share our recovery and our message. What a beautiful process it's been since then. We have taken up 16 meetings a week. We have many deaf, many hearing, and a few interpreters. It's been such a beautiful process to see that the life-saving message of Narcotics Anonymous truly is accessible to everyone, and that my recovery is enhanced because now I have access to other members that understand my culture and my background and my language. And we've been very fortunate to take up local translation committee and really work on making our literature accessible in ASL. Now, when myself and deaf team were part of Southeast Zonal Forum Additional Needs Task Force, that was amazing. And we took up translating IP1 and the glossary into ASL. Sadly, the deaf team had to step away from the Additional Needs Task Force because we realized with great discussion in the deaf community that deafness is not a disability. We're simply asking for access in our own language and our own culture, just like any other language. And that means that it takes deaf members to sit down with hearing, with interpreters in the program to discuss sentence by sentence, word by word, concept by concept, every piece of our NA literature. Because right now, there's nothing accessible. The only thing that's there is so old and outdated that it doesn't make sense in sign language. Can you imagine being a newcomer, coming into the rooms, and everything is in a different language? Not just the readings that are posted on the wall, but even the body languages and mannerisms are different. How would you gain access to the life-saving message of NA? How would you find a sponsor? How would you be involved in service? If you're only limited to what you read, understanding that ASL is a language different than English. Just like if I were to give you a paper now written in Chinese and ask you to read it, understand it, explain it to another person, and apply it when you don't speak Chinese and you don't read Chinese. It's similar with ASL. While yes, captionings are amazing, most deaf don't read English. So really, accessibility in sign language. And Never Alone Deaf Group, we have taken up learning days. We function much like an area. We don't have a label because, as we all know, service looks a little different virtually. And I think that those guidelines and suggestions are still being established. But with almost three years as a group virtually, I think that we've earned our seat here too. And I know that the message that we share with each other in every meeting in our language and our culture is the reason I'm here today and that I'm clean. We have deaf members celebrating multiple years of recovery. We have many deaf that are celebrating months or 1 year clean because they got clean on a screen virtually and they have never been to an in-person meeting. My question is what happens when in-person starts again? Will there be access? Or will we go back to there being a denying of access because there are no interpreters? That scares me. I can't imagine having a program where there's support one day and then the next day it's just gone. Because selfishly, our needs as addicts, whenever we have those in-person meetings opening back up, sometimes we forget about those people who still need us. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to come together and hear everyone's experience and their shares about creating a welcoming environment in NA virtually. Service is vital. if we have members that can take up service being deaf, that can welcome anyone, even though there's a language barrier, just that atmosphere of recovery and the love of the fellowship shows through by our facial expressions, by our body language, and how we continue to reach out. There are many groups and areas that ask us to be a part of speaker jams and monthly speaker meetings. There are a few groups that have provided interpreters since the beginning of COVID. It's just such a beautiful change to see that we adapt in Narcotics Anonymous. And my responsibility as a chairperson for that group, for my home group, is to make sure that it's safe and welcoming to everyone. And that means that whenever you show up, someone will be there to greet you with a smile. And if you're new, remember, you're not alone. Maybe I can't hear you. Maybe we speak a different language. But the heartbeat of the fellowship shows up. When we care and share the NA way, amazing things happen. I'd really like to thank each of you for showing up today and being a part of my recovery and for giving me hope that virtually or in person, we're all connected. My name is Laura. I'm thankful to be here, and I'm simply a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Laura, thank you very much. That was so beautiful. And thank you for sharing your experience with us and your fantastic service. Okay, now we have our next speaker. And it is going to be Greg. So it's Greg H. from the Rainbow Rocket Recovery Group, which is a hybrid meeting based in Huntsville, Alabama.
Thank you. My name's Greg and I'm an addict. I would like to say a big roll tide from here in Huntsville, Alabama. Happy Unity Day also from Huntsville, Alabama, also known as the Rocket City, thus the name Rainbow Rocket Recovery. That's how we came up with it. I apologize in advance. They did not provide an interpreter for Alabama Southern Broken English. So you'll just have to do the best you can. All I know to do is just be me, okay? So if you'll bear with me for a few minutes, I'd like to thank Nick and Shane and the World Board for asking me to represent Rainbow Rocket Recovery and the LGBT community of addicts within NA. Yes, that community exists. There are stories in our basic text about LGBTQ plus addicts and their struggles with their recovery. There are many stories that could and should be published today to reflect our current social reality. Also, thank you to the presenters today discussing such very important topics for building unity. Unity requires trust. We must trust each other. And these discussions will help us form suggestions on how we can increase trust and therefore the unity within our groups and the local NA group areas, regions, and NA as a whole. Rainbow Rocket Recovery is an LGBTQ plus safe space NA group. We're hybrid, as was mentioned earlier. We do in-person and virtual meetings simultaneously. I have a heart full of gratitude today that I'm clean. And I'm continuing to learn and live and mature in the spiritual principles of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm here today to talk about the miracle in a group, Rainbow Rocket Recovery. You'll understand why it's a miracle after I share, I hope. I'd like to accomplish with my time today is give you a brief rendition of my story, very brief, so that you know my motivations and the motivations of other people around me as we help to start an LGBTQ plus meeting in Alabama, of all places. I get tickled when people show up at the Rainbow Rocket Recovery virtually, and they confess. The reason I came to this meeting was because I was searching in a meeting list and I saw an LGBTQ plus meeting in Alabama, the dirty South, where they hang gay people, where they do bad things to them, where they don't acknowledge them. And they say, I thought I must go see what this is about. So they do. And some of them come and they become home group members. Some of them come and become regular attenders. And some of them come and show up when they can and show support for Rainbow Rocket Recovery Group and the LGBTQ plus community of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a 58-year-old professional who came to NA late in life. My first using was when I was 11 years old in 1974. By the grace of my higher power, my last using day was February 26th of 2017. I had over 40 years of using without a program. I was admitted to the hospital on that day with complete organ failure. I was unmanageable. I woke up in the psych ward 8 days later and was there for 13 more days. Every time they'd lower my medication doses, I would start hallucinating again and becoming unmanageable. There's that word again, unmanageable. You know, the one that every one of us identifies with. Whether you came to the program via the boardroom or the back room, under a bridge or hidden up on a mountain, from a nurse's station or a soup kitchen, from driving a Ferrari to wearing holy jeans that aren't there because they're fashionable, they're there because they're wore out, and holy tennis shoes, we're all unmanageable because we're all addicts. I want to explain where the need was discovered for an LGBTQ plus safe space and what the motivations were. I got clean in February of 2017, as I said. In February of 2018, I attended the Out of the Darkness Into the Light convention, NA convention, in Decatur, Alabama. There were a couple of other addicts who were gay like me, who had a whole lot more clean time than me. Talked about how LGBTQ plus people didn't have representation in Narcotics Anonymous. And whenever we tried to get representation or get noticed or ask for service, we were met with not positive responses because we were simply a bunch of gay people asking for something extra. So we decided to have a rogue meeting. We made up some flyers and we placed them around in the hotel, the host hotel, and told them a room number that we would meet in on the next day at noon. And that day, 28 people showed up in that room and we crowded into that suite and tears flowed and people were able to share things about their recovery that they said they had never been able to share publicly in their rooms before. They were able to share with people like them without judgment, without fear. Our higher powers at work that day, I took that information. One of the members, David and Henry were the ones I was working with. And then one of the members shared about how he was afraid to come to my home group, air group, because he was afraid. He had been talked to very bad a couple times, and he was a gay man. And he wasn't very, you know, he was slight in build, and he wasn't very confident. And it made me mad. It pissed me off that somebody wanted to bully him. And so I went to my sponsor, and I was really self-righteously indignant about it. And she said, do something about it. And I was like, and at that time, when I came into the program, I came in full bore. I was running like my hair was on fire because I was tired of living the way I'd lived for 40 years. So I decided, with a whole lot of self-centeredness and some unmanageability, that I was going to show them. So we had that meeting, that rogue meeting. Then later on, in April, we attended Fun in the Sun in Panama City Convention. And again, we had asked for meeting space and was told they couldn't do it. So again, we printed flyers and we had a rogue meeting. We took over the 24-hour meeting room at noon the next on Saturday. And there were 54 people, 54 other gay addicts who showed up just from those flyers being placed around. And the flyers didn't survive long. I noticed several times when people would see them and they would pick them up, wad them up and throw them in the trash, take them down off the wall. So the suppression really does happen, whether it's something easy to admit or not. Now, from that, as my sponsor said, go do something about it. She gave me the name of someone at World Service, Shane at World Services. And I called him and told him what my idea was and that me and these other folks wanted to try to put together a meeting. And how could I approach my home group and give them facts that having a meeting, an LGBTQ plus meeting, was okay? He gave me the information, and the information came. We understand that service bulletins are not approved in a literature, but they are, however, efforts of the committees to find and build consensus and follow leadership of a loving God to draw conclusions about a topic. So if you're looking to start a meeting, World Service Board of Trustees, bulletin number 18, talks about specialty meetings and special interest meetings. There's a whole lot more I wanted to share with you today, but I'll share what their final conclusion was. It said special interest meetings have existed in Narcotics Anonymous for some time. There does not appear to be anything in the 12 traditions which causes groups against, which cautions groups against holding special interest meetings, provided the group has no requirement for membership other than the desire to stop using. That meeting that I talked about, I went to my home group and I shared this information with them. And my home group had a group conscience and decided we could have that meeting, and we did. For 2 years, we met. And then when the pandemic hit and we were published on in a world as an LGBTQ plus meeting, people started showing up from all over the world in our little meeting from Huntsville, Alabama, that we were just trying to reach our local addicts with. And it became apparent very quickly that we needed more than just to be that. So we became a group. We formed a group and became part of the McKenna area. We're now a group that meets on Monday nights and Saturday nights. We have great speakers on Monday nights. And it's a group where people come who can share things that they feel they can't share in other, in other settings. So I appreciate y'all. There's a flyer that you can see. It's got some information. I try to post those. There was some things, just if you're interested in starting your own group, Tradition 5, every group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. If you're questioning what your motives are, put it against that test. Use that as your test. One thing, and then I'll finish, is that Rainbow Rocket Recovery is an LGBTQ safe space meeting, but it's also every addict welcome. We don't turn anybody away who has a desire to stop using. There were some challenges from other members as we tried to form and as we operated. People who didn't have anything to do with us. And basically, I referred them back to bulletin number 18, which says, if you need a meeting, have a meeting. If you don't need a meeting, don't have a meeting. Every group is autonomous. We have every right. There's plenty more I could say. If I could help any of you personally that are trying to form meetings, you can share my phone number if you'd like to, or I'll share it in the chat and my email address, and I'd be happy to talk with anyone and help them go through the process of establishing a meeting or being in contact with us. We're looking for speakers and we're looking for members, and you know, just looking to help addicts recover. I'm grateful today, very grateful today for the opportunity to speak to you. Have a great day.
Greg, thank you so much. Really appreciate your experience on this and sharing it with us. And I'm sure the information is going to be helpful to a lot of members. And thanks, Nick, for sharing that, the flyer. So we have now come down to our final panelist of the day. And that's Tobin D from Hollywood. And Tobin is going to share about the predatory behavior workshops that she helped organize in her area. Over to you, Tobin.
Thank you. My name's Tobin. I am an addict. We all know COVID-19 forced NA to meet online. While this transition was incredibly helpful in ensuring that we could continue carrying the message to the still suffering addict, it also created opportunities for unsafe spaces. A few weeks into virtual meetings, members of our area expressed their concern over secretive post-meeting fellowship meetings in which newcomer women were met with sexually explicit comments and remarks and asked to remove their tops or saw pornography being shared on the screen without their consent. Harassment and predatory behavior aren't exclusive to online meetings. Many of us in the program have experienced this type of behavior before, either as the recipients of it or as witnesses to it. But the pandemic created an opportunity for this type of behavior to happen in a more discreet, under the radar type of way. And members in our area were understandably upset. Some of us grew rather concerned about how this behavior represented our area of NA, but also NA as a whole. So we went to our policy subcommittee meeting and asked what our policy was around this type of behavior. We discovered that there was no such policy and were instructed to take it to the area. We discussed this issue at our area, and the area chose to create an ad hoc committee consisting of 4 members with different backgrounds and clean times. The committee's goal was to collect information and resources to share with the area to help groups address the problem of predatory behavior, both online and in person. Our committee used existing NA resources and the traditions to build an interactive discussion-based virtual workshop. After defining some basic terms and setting some ground rules, we split out into breakout rooms where each group was assigned a problematic statement, such as, "Back when I got clean, we all had sex with each other and it was totally fine." And a predatory problematic scenario like, after a newcomer shares, another member uses their sharing time to comment on the newcomer's physical appearance. These discussions focused on how these statements and scenarios can prevent our groups from fulfilling their primary purpose of carrying the message to the still suffering addict. After the breakouts were done, the group came back to together and discussed how they would address these statements and scenarios in a group setting. The goal of our workshop was for the GSRs to take the workshop back to their groups and do it within their groups and have meetings set their own policies and rules and plans for such behavior. Overall, this is an issue that has been prevalent in NA for a long time, not just in our area. The workshop definitely didn't solve the problem of predatory behavior and harassment in NA, but it did create an opportunity for groups to feel empowered to hold members accountable and ensure that our primary purpose remains front and center. It also created a dialogue where members felt comfortable talking about these issues that have been important but shoved under the rug for so long. It was a place for us to talk about how the things that people let slide in meetings or jokes or give people the benefit of the doubt can often escalating if they go unchecked into predatory behavior. Our biggest takeaway was that one-on-one relationships and accountability was the best way to deal with this problem and have open communication with newcomers about what meetings and what members to avoid and why. We did find it helpful to empower each meeting to set their own policy around said behavior, and some meetings have chosen to read a statement about such behaviors and share the meeting's policy around said behavior. Lastly, I would say to pay close attention to those who object to these new policies and these types of workshops. Predatory behavior has led members to leaving the fellowship permanently, and some have left permanently, as in they left and died. When we brought this up, we were often told this has been going on for years and there's nothing that can be done about it. And that is when we noticed that the folks who had spoken up previously have also mostly left the fellowship or changed fellowships. We did find if our area and NA as a whole does not make a policy around this behavior, it will affect membership. We also took it upon ourselves as we took it as there were a sign that there wasn't enough activities, or we did find that the issue that we were dealing with specifically was female newcomers being taken advantage by male old timers. It's not exclusive to that heteronormative issue, but that's what this one issue we were dealt with. So a group of us women started making our presence felt at these virtual meetings, and that they were meetings that kept their links open all night and changed hosts and just kept it going all night. And we would sit in these Zooms night after night just to have a presence in them. And in one of those rooms, I did end up in a Zoom with the majority of the men who had formed the fellowship Zoom room that had started all of the controversy. And once they had realized that our plan as an ad hoc wasn't to get them kicked out of NA, they started asking me questions and getting my point of view on how predatory behavior affects the fellowship and what I considered predatory behavior. And by the end of that particular Zoom, that they had acknowledged all of the things that they had done in that Zoom room to be not only true, but very accurate, and came away with it with a different understanding of why it's a problem and how it affects other people, and that sometimes jokes aren't just jokes, or things that you think are a joke, how they deeply affect other people. And so we did learn that education is extremely important, because there is a lot of anyone else who's spoken on this topic tonight has discussed what they're met with when they bring this up in their area or in their region. You know, people are very uncomfortable and don't like change or introducing this. And we have found education is the most important part, that having people understand and be able to talk about why it's a problem and how it's a problem, and that, you know, it is an issue, and that that does need to be dealt with, and it does need to be supported with policy. But in the meantime, education was the most important way for folks to understand the problem of it. And that's it. That's all I got. Thank you.
Tobin, thank you so much. Thank you for sharing this experience and for providing the materials. It's very much appreciated. So that brings us to the end of this section. I'm going to hand you back to Tim. Just want to thank you for letting me serve, and happy Unity Day, everybody.
Thanks, Irene. And thanks, everyone. That was so inspirational. I'm really glad I wasn't leading that session. I was able to compose myself, turn my camera off and compose myself on a few occasions. Thank you so much. Additional material from today's panelists will be posted on the virtual meetings webpage, www.na.org/virtual. And we'll also include contact information for some of the groups and service bodies that shared with us today. So now we're going to attempt to do some questions and answers. Please keep the questions to be related on today's topics. Panelists, I am going to refer to you to hopefully answer some of these questions. So please be ready. The staff will unmute you. I think you can unmute yourself, sorry. And those asking questions, the staff will do our best to unmute you in a timely manner. And I have seen a hand. I'm going to get Gary to ask his question. If the staff could unmute Gary F, please.
I just want to make the announcement that this meeting is live streaming on YouTube. If your video is not turned off, it will also be part of that stream.
So Gary, are you ready to ask your question, sir?
Yeah, hi, I'm an actor named Gary. So a number of years ago, I was treasurer of a home group that was dealing with some outrageous predatory behavior, sadly, by a chairperson making women in the group incredibly uncomfortable. And under the guise of, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, I contacted NAWS to find out what we might be able to do. And I was encouraged that we should not try and ban the guy from the meeting, but we could make him uncomfortable. And my question is, and the other thing, I think Steve was the guy I talked to. And I think what I was told was that sadly, we did not have any literature on predatory behavior. The only thing I had seen was that Bergen County flyer about predatory behavior. And I spoke to somebody up there and he told me that people were uncomfortable with the word predatory. And I went, what, the predators were uncomfortable? Like, it just seemed crazy to me that people would find that uncomfortable. And so I'm wondering, and maybe this has already been answered, but I'm wondering, do we now have good literature on predatory behavior in our fellowship? Thank you.
Now, Tobin, would you like to answer that question for us, please?
Our biggest issue was the use of the term predatory behavior. That's what we got the most pushback on. And we actually went back and forth on renaming the workshop a few times before we were finally like, this is predatory behavior. We're going to call it what it is and we're going to deal with it. As far as I know, there is no official thing. There's the safety statement and things like that. And there is an IP about, it calls it, I think, unsafe, someone help, unsafe, it calls it something, but it doesn't call it necessarily predatorial behavior. So I can't speak to what is approved literature now, but I know that there wasn't. We also used the Bergen when we were doing ours, and I think disruptive behavior, thank you, Leslie. We used Bergen when doing ours, and I think there was also something at a Florida service committee that we used as well.
Thanks, Tobin. Our next question is from Joe G.
Thanks. Kelly. I'm an addict, Joe. Hi. Thank you so much for doing this and thanks to everyone that participated. I don't know if it's as much of a question, but just sort of like a, first of all, it's crazy to hear the last two people say that because that's exactly what happened in Philly. It's like folks have no problem with the behavior. When the word predator came up, people who were engaging in potentially harmful behavior were more horrified with that label than with the potential harm being caused. Yeah, when I was just looking up, I guess when Sam was sharing, I think the draft of UK, the predatory behavior on NA.org, looks like it might be an older draft, like older than maybe what the one that they're working with now. I did see the Florida one, which I think says 2013, but I would love to get the Bergen County, whatever that resource is. I didn't see that. I guess I'm wondering, obviously we have a habit of saying like, hey, NAS, can you please come up with literature for us to cling to as a life preserver? But we know that that's a really slow process, and especially now. So I'm just wondering, specific to online meetings, like that service pamphlet, I think it's Disruptive and Violent Behavior, was really geared towards, you know, stuff happening in physical meetings, which is very different from what we're confronting right now. And I'm just wondering about, like, I don't know, if we could come up with something that we could bring to areas and regions as like a, starting to talk about this. What comes to my mind is that where I live, they leave the chat open for people to DM, like private message each other. They're still leaving everyone unmuted so that bombers can disrupt with hate speech. You know, the responsibility of the group to protect the atmosphere and the idea of like prioritizing, cultivating safety with the choices around what we're doing in online meetings is something that I believe a lot of groups haven't really thought about yet. It's like, if the meeting can still run, that's mostly what folks are focused on. So I guess I'm just wondering, in this interim, before we do have literature, what else we could do to sort of come up with a more casual structure that we could start bringing to regions and areas to ask groups to start talking about this. So thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. And I think the best way I could answer that is for yourselves or anyone that's developed similar materials to send it to us, and we can post it on our local resource page, including the latest updated version from the UK, if that is the case. I'm not sure. Sam, did you want to add anything on that, on your process, to Joe? Sam from the UK.
Thanks, Tim. Just to say that this is the document. It's that older version. We're looking to potentially update that. There's a small section in the back before the conclusion that's titled Sexually Predatory Behavior. So I don't know if you can see this. This is what it's looking like as printed from our UK service office. But yeah, I think maybe potentially we could form a work group, you know, to collect all these resources and look at what we can do further to that. Thanks, Joe. Thanks, Tim.
Okay, I'm going to have to close the queue at this point. I'm going to do my absolute best to get to the hands we have risen, but please, if you can keep that in mind. Dax, is it Dax, NA Recovery First? Yep. Could you please ask your question?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm Dax. I'm an addict, NA Recovery First. I'm very happy I was invited to this meeting. I'm actually the GSR of a very brand new virtual meeting. And from my experience, you know, I've dealt with these lounges, and the behaviors are what I would consider unacceptable, because it does take away from the atmosphere of recovery and the opportunity for people to get clean, right? Because they're going to run away. They don't want to deal with it. And so my question is there going to be a revision to the guidelines via World Services to address Zoom specifically, Zoom meetings. Because obviously we have the guidelines and the traditions that have always been the same, but now we're looking at this whole new platform and dealing with all these behaviors that are virtually uncontrollable. Like you can't, unless you mute the chat or, you know, take certain things, and certain groups are doing this, we're doing it. But I wanna know if there's gonna be a revision or an addendum to anything that we have already set in place. And then also the next question is, can and will we be invited to any workshop that addresses this specific issue is what I would love for us to be invited to, because we need help.
Yeah, so if you go to our projects, you can give input to the current work group that we have. Okay, yeah, so if you can just send anything you have and maybe send an email to the World Board as well with any input that you have. Thank you. I am not going to get to all the hands that are raised, so I'm just going to do my best to mix it up a little. I'm going to ask Rani from France, did you want to ask your question, please?
Hi, I'm Rani from France. I just want to thank everyone who shared about the predatory behaviors. We had the same issues in France for 2 years, and we've made a piece of literature that we translated in English so we can send it to you. The issues is that a lot of people think that if the predatory behavior doesn't happen in the meeting, but happens outside the meeting, it's not an NA problem. And predator meet their victims in meeting, you know, and after that, they meet them outside. And there's a lot of resistance about all that. But what I understood tonight is that even if there is resistance, we have to go on and do the workshops and do the job, because I can understand tonight that it's a worldwide issue. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks for that, Rani. I am going to go to Miko from Israel, please. Could you ask a question?
Yeah, thank you, team. Thanks, everybody, for a beautiful webinar. We talked about accessibility, and I want to raise another point of view regarding accessibility. In the time we are now having the pandemic, some meetings are still going on physical. And in that meetings, you have people who are not wearing masks and are not keeping a social distance or just keeping the rules as in any countries. Now, we looked at it in my home group. We discussed it and we realized that somehow it's connected to our third tradition. The third tradition tells us that NA has to be available and accessible to everybody and anyone. And if you are sitting in a meeting without masks and without keeping the rules, okay, you're actually saying to a newcomer or an old timer that if you want to participate in that NA meeting, you will have to take a risk and be with people who are facing you to get infected or other things. So from a different angle, it means that actually this NA meeting is not accessible to everybody anymore. So it was a different angle of looking at that, and I wanted to share it with you. Thank you very much. I love you guys. Thank you for a great webinar.
Thanks for sharing that with us, Mika. And unfortunately, I'm only going to have time for one more question. I'll ask Kiki, could you please give us your question?
Thank you for acknowledging me. Really appreciate it. Thank everyone. Thank, oh my God, Nakai's name is Mac. It means so much. You know, I'm calling out of Chicago. Well, I used to do the phone line. I'm coming out of Chicago, and wow, Toby, thank you for touching the topic, because the only IP we do have, and I've been mailing them out to different people dealing with disruptive behavior, and it does say behavior, you know, it does say violent and behavior, you know. My home group is sex and relationship, and just the name sometimes can be like a joke, you know, but thank God that the members that we do have come there, it's based on the 12 steps and the 12 traditions, you know, the relationships and the behavior. But far as the world and being here on this webinar, I love the fact that we should consider over the years. I've been here since I was 19, you know, and I just celebrated 30 years. Well, I'll be 52, my age is better. I'll be 53 in a few months, right? But yeah, it's something that we do need to address, because just since this pandemic about 4 months ago, I'm an emotional person by nature, a newcomer who's celebrating her first year on Zoom on the 19th of this month was invited to a convention through Zoom, and the member set her up to be raped. And when she called the members who invited her, they said, oh, everybody knows he's like that. And being an organization, I was listening to the other person share, whatever we do does affect us directly or indirectly. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to give some 90-day information that maybe this is something that we do need to address after 68 years, because I've seen members who have actually, like you said, leave and die as a result of the predatory behavior. And I am just so honored that you acknowledge me, because this is something that I have dealt with as a member at different meetings and personally myself. And I try to stand on the principles, but if we had something to back up our opinion, as they say in the 10th tradition, then it would be something that we can hold members accountable to consider to looking at, because it is a part of the disease of addiction. Thank you. Thank you again for acknowledging me. Thank you for your service, and happy Unity Day to all of us.
Thanks, Kiki. Happy Unity Day to you. And look, I apologize that I can't get to everyone. Please, those with your hands raised, please flick us an email to the World Board, and we will get back to you and put you in touch with whoever we can, or we'll answer it ourselves, of course. So we're going to summarize the questions that came up after the meeting on our virtual webpage as well. At this point also, if the staff could help me out, I'd just like to acknowledge and announce the event, The Journey Continues, which is now on currently as we speak and runs through until the 6th at 12 noon Pacific time. And the World Board is grateful to the Washington, Northern Idaho region, and we are enjoying being participants in this event. It's very inspiring stuff, and if you have the time, I highly recommend you visit. Thank you. Thanks. So after 3 years of work by a dedicated work group, NAWS staff and NA members all over the world, we're approaching the end of the fellowship's unified effort to create a new piece of NA literature. This is truly unity in action. The final batch of review and input drafts for the Spiritual Principle a Day book are available for another 9 days, only on the project webpage here at www.na.org/SPAD. The approval draft will be released at the same time as the 2022 interim conference agenda report and posted on the conference webpage at www.na.org/conference. So that brings us to the end Thank you so much for everyone for coming and attending. And thank you one last time for our panelists. If we could all give them a big virtual clap. I want to give a huge thank you to our staff. This was an inspirational webinar, and they make this magic happen and make us humble board members look a lot better than we are. And thank you so much to our staff. And of course, a massive thank you to our translators and our interpreters, the just inspirational stuff. Thank you so much for your service. And I wish you all a happy Unity Day. And if you could join us in a quick moment silence, followed by the third step prayer. Feel free to unmute if you're able to. Many of us have said, take my will and my life.
Bye.